This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Dashun Johan. So before the break, we were talking about couples or dating when you are not on the same political page, so to speak. So we did have someone who tweeted in.
So both Achin tweeted in to say that differing views is good. The fit or clash comes only if one or both cannot accept that a partner can have differing views.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Thank you. And speaking of social media, to lead off our second story, we are asking you something on Twitter.
Yes, so a recent study found that the music we listen to in our youth stays with us for the rest of our lives. So we're asking you, what is the most memorable song from your youth? So you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. So the reason we're asking you is, you know, if you were cast away to a desert island and you could bring 8 records with you, what music would you pick? So that is actually the premise of BBC Radio 4's Desert Island Disc program. And a recent study of the choices made by individuals featured on the program had some pretty interesting results. So researchers from the University of Westminster and City University of London analysed the responses of 80 Desert Island Disc guests, and they found that the music we listen to between the ages of 10 and 30 defines us for the rest of our lives. So music from the time of the respondents' life connects them to people, places, times that are significant to their identity, and not only do people who imagine themselves in isolation prefer music that reminds them of their youth, but they also found that they would most likely choose music that reminds them of someone important in their lives.
Mm. So if you're not familiar with Desert Island Discs, it's a radio program that has been on air with the BBC since 1942. It was pitched to the BBC by broadcaster Roy Plomley, and the show was introduced to the public as a program in which a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you, assuming, of course, that you have a gramophone and an inexhaustible supply of needles. I think we can update that to perhaps an iPod, which even still sounds very old-fashioned, but you get the idea.
Yeah. The format has remained relatively the same since 1942, with more than 3,000 episodes having been recorded and 5 presenters that have hosted the program, Roy Plomley, Sir Michael Parkinson, Sue Lawley, Christy Young, and currently Lauren Laverne. And personalities from all walks of public life, including politics, entertainment, science and sports, are all invited to choose 8 records, a book, as well as a luxury item to take with them as they are cast away on a mythical desert island. It's not just simply about their music choices, but the show essentially invites the listeners to get to know the individual better, from why they choose these particular songs to events and people who inspired them throughout their lives and careers.
So this study that you were talking about, Sue Ann, it only looked at the responses of 80 guests of the program to better understand how people choose music that is important to them and whether they are more likely to select music from a particular time in their life if they are given the freedom to choose. So this is while this is a minuscule number compared to the guests that have been on the Desert Island Discs over the years, the results are still really interesting, because half of the musical choices were seen as important between the ages of 10 and 30.
Yes, so according to the reminiscent bump theory, people tend to remember much of our younger adult lives more vividly compared to other years. And so these memories stick with us as we age. So the theory argues that, you know, in our memory, we all have a culturally conditioned life script that becomes the narrative of our lives. So when we reminisce on our past, when we look back, the memories that dominate the narrative tends to be, one, happy memories, and two, memories that revolve around our teens and early 20s.
Hmm. So then music has a twofold role in how the memories from our youth can become part of our sense of self. First, some songs become memories in and of themselves. You'd remember the first time you heard a song, and at that moment you decided that that was your favorite song and artist. And decades later at dinners and parties, that's the song you'll always go back to. Second, these songs also form the soundtrack to a time when it felt like the most vital and momentous years of your lives. So you might vividly remember the song that you and your best friend used to jam to in your teens, or the music that played on your first date. Mm-hmm. As the years pass, you realize that the event itself may not be that profound, but the emotions that have been tagged to the song lingers on.
Mm. So this new study found that rather than thinking of that period as a reminiscence bump, it's more helpful to think of it as a self-defined learning period. So that's because the researchers see this period as characterized by enduring memories that support our sense of who we are, and it's intrinsically linked to our developing self and how we form our identity. And really, they also suggest that listening to music is more of a common trait during this age.
Yes. So according to the study's lead researcher, Professor Catherine Loveday, who's also a neurophysiologist at the University of Westminster, she said that, and I'm quoting, guests frequently chose songs because they were related to important memories that occurred during teenage years. This extends previous findings by showing that music from this time has particular meaning, primarily because it relates to memories from this very important developmental period of our life. So compared to previous studies, this one shows that even when there aren't constraints and people have free rein in their musical choices, they still tend to turn to music that they heard in their youths.
So to get another perspective on, you know, the role that music plays in our lives and why we might form attachments to music of our youth, we have on the line with us Paul Augustine, director of the Penang House of Music. So thanks for joining us, Paul. And really to start with, you know, in your own experience, how did the music that you listened to in your youth shape your identity?
Yes, I would think so. Like, basically, I'm not an expert on this, but I think people want to go back to a good place, you know, and music helps them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they went back to listening to songs that, you know, they have time now. They say, oh, we listened to this song before, let's have a listen to it, you know, and that kind of thing happens. And whether it shaped my identity, because I was a musician when I left school. So it did shape my musician when I was growing up. Certain songs I listened to will depict certain times in my life. You know, I remember the first song that I wrote the words down, the whole words, you know, and I said, wow, you know. And then I remember the time when certain things happened and then you listen to a certain song. So there is recollection. Music is so powerful that it can take you back to a certain time. You know, based on my experience, like, you know, when I hear a song, I remember the place. Or I hear a name and I connect with, like, the place. Like, for example, when John Lennon passed away, he was killed. I opened the papers, I read it. Where was I? I remember where I was. Or even Ricky Nelson, when he died, I was in Australia. I was in the garden and was, like, coming out to the net. So it's people, not only music, but people, who the singers and everything that depicts and actually connects everything to me. But I am not the normal person because I was a musician, so it's not really normal in terms of the music-wise itself and what it does for me.
So then do you find that you or others also develop a really strong emotional bond to both the song and the artist as well?
Oh, yes, definitely, especially the songs itself, because songs are stories. Every song is a story. Songs came from films and people sing about it. And then it's like you see a video in your head. And then eventually you went to radio, but, you know, it's like a love song. You sing about a person or, you know, when you get angry, you sing another type of song and all that kind of stuff. So songs are stories, and it actually sort of like, you know, what you remember about things and all that kind of stuff, in a sense of connection. And they do actually affect what we are, you know. So it's a connection that people have with music. Your whole life, actually, if you just imagine the world without music, you know, horror movies will be not horror. You don't hear any sound. You know, it's like the ghost is coming, zoom, 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 zoom. And you know, oh man, he's coming, you know. The sounds that are created.
So in terms of how we think and experience music, have you seen habits changing over the years?
I think because we have access to more mediums, mm-hmm. There is a slight difference. You know, when we were growing up in my time, now I'm telling my age, like, you know, I grew up in a time when I was born, the time there was no television, you know, and then I remember seeing my first television when I was young, you know, and then eventually, you know, you have only the radio, you have the cinema, after that, of course, television. But now you've got Spotify, you've got, you know, so many other things, like the YouTubes and everything. So the connection is not as strong, I feel, as before, you know, because when you don't have anything else but the radio becomes your friend. And then now when you got the phone and you say, I don't want this, I can switch. So there's no attachment. People generally are more, musically, I think there's more methods and more techniques are out there. and people are generally more technically advanced in terms of music, but music has feel. You know, you can sing a song, I can hear the song, but when I listen to the song and I said, hey, listen, I know what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what you're saying. I can hear. You know, a guitarist is like, oh, technique, I can play 100 notes or 200 notes in about 2 minutes or whatever. You know, but you don't have to do that. When you talk at times, it's just, you don't have to talk too much. You know, when you talk too much, I listen and I say, okay, technically you're very good. The sound is very good, everything, but the soul of the song is not there. You know, you must always remember that music, when you sing a song, you are telling a story. You listen to certain people, their voices are not very good, and I don't want to mention names, but the way they sing, the feel itself is like, wow, you know, I can feel it, you know.
Hmm. So now with the COVID-19 pandemic, we're also seeing music become a medium that brings communities and people together. For example, we've seen people singing from their balconies or coming together for music online. Why do you think music has been able to take on that role of bringing us together?
I think music brings people together. Like it or not, it does bring people together. It's just that it's a belonging. You know, people are always searching for something, to belong to something, or, you know, certain people listen to certain songs and they connect with each other, and then you meet another person and they say, hey, you listen to this? Oh, I listen to this song as well. They got something to share. People are always searching for connections and all that kind of stuff, and music plays a very strong part in it, you know. It connects people. It connects to time. I can relate to another person if at the same age, if he tells me, he says, hey, I listen to the Beatles. Say, yeah, wow, you listen to Beatles. Which song you like? You know, you start talking. It's communication. A connection, and it binds people together. Immediately, there is a connection. I give you one example. I just thought about it. I remember we run the Penang Island Jazz Festival, and then after the Jazz Festival, there is a jam session that we have in the club. And one night, I walk into the jam session, and I look, you know, and I saw, okay, the guy playing the piano is a Korean guy. The drummer is Dutch. And then we got the saxophonist, Azerbaijan. And then somebody else from Norway. And though they do speak a bit of English, some of them don't speak English at all. And then they go on stage and they want to jam. They want to jam because they want to play. They want to play with all these people. And you get all these other guys from other countries as well. They come. And then somebody just calls out a song, you know, St. Thomas. And they all look at each other and say, okay. You know, and they start playing. And then everybody like, oh, wow. You know, everybody knows the song. It just connects. They don't speak the language, but they speak the language of music. Everybody knows the song. Everybody knows when to play. Everybody knows the parts. And, you know, it was just wonderful to watch it. It was like, wow. And then they come down. They don't talk. They just get together and they jam. And it was magic. You know, it became magic.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us, Paul. That was Paul Augustine, director of the Penang House of Music, sharing his thoughts on, you know, why the music from our youth can influence our identity and really the larger role of music in bringing us together as mm-hmm. a community. And so, you know, in relation to this story, we were also asking you on social media, what is the most memorable song from your youth? And we've got quite a few responses, quite interesting ones. We have two who chose songs from Queen. Joanna said Bohemian Rhapsody, Mohammed Adrian said Radio Gaga. Mm-hmm. We also have Mervyn Seven who said Safari by Dr. Bombay.
Oh, that was a left field choice. But yes, if you grew up at a particular time, Dr. Bombay was probably everywhere, for better or worse.
Not surprising, coming from someone who calls himself Bruno Mernandes.
Yes, and since, you know, we are talking about music and songs, and really what inspired this was the study that looked at BBC Radio 4's programme, you know, we thought we'd also share with you some of our own song choices if we were happen to be cast away on a desert island. So here's the first snippet from one of our choices. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love that's to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
So that was Black Eyed Peas with Where Is The Love? Probably my favorite song of all time. You know, I've always been the person who really cared about race and racial politics, even if I didn't understand the nuances as a kid. And this song really, I think it's probably the first song that I really Like, it opened my eyes to the power of lyrics. Mm-hmm. Before that, you know, I never paid attention. I would just listen to random songs and whatever. But when I think it was when I was in primary school and, you know, when I paid attention to what Where's the Love was saying, what the rap lyrics were and everything. And it just, I think it just blew my mind. And from then on, until now, it's still on every single playlist. It was on every single MP3 player I had. It's really powerful.
It sounded like it's really shaped a lot of your interests now as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So the next song is from me, and I chose this really because it was featured in a movie that was really influential for me in my childhood, which is Princess Diaries. And there's so much nostalgia that I associate with this movie. The song was in it, and I think that's why I really can just listen to it over and over again. So here's a snippet of Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson.
When it's not cheesy, you were a certain age, don't worry.
Oh, to have a bit more, a bit more diversity in our song choices, we also asked our colleagues, Shawik and Juliet, for the song that they would bring with them on a desert island. So Shawik chose Tonight the Streets Are Ours by Richard Hawley, because not only is it lyrically and musically beautiful, this according to her, it also has a meaningful message behind it, as Hawley wrote it to address why people were disenfranchised with the Blair government in the UK. So have a listen to it. A short snippet of the song.
Do you know how to kill loneliness at last? Oh, there's so much there to heal, dear, and make tears things of the past. Do you know that tonight the streets are ours?
Trust dear Shawik to pick something so obscure and so meaningful. But our next song comes from Juliet with Pat and Shirley Boone's Let Me Call Your Sweetheart. She says this song evokes warm and fuzzy memories for her. She has fond memories of her late mother singing it to her as a child when putting her to bed. And now she does the same for her kids. So here's a taste of that song.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
So, we haven't forgotten about your song choice either, Samira. Don't worry, we'll get to it. But, you know, which record would you bring with you if you were alone on a desert island?
Well, to be fair, I found it really difficult to pick just one, but I finally narrowed it down to Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, and we will listen to that a little bit later. But the reason I picked that was because I think it's one of the first songs. It came out when I was in my early teens, and it was the first song that I... that kind of brought together both that sort of existential, angsty, music together with poetry. I really like the lyrics of that song a lot. And more importantly, like what you said earlier, Suan, it reminds me of my best friend at that time. Mm-hmm. And he and I used to stay on the phone for hours, like just like mooning over the lyrics of the song and talking about how wonderful the singer's voice was. So for me, it has a lot of memories of a particular period in time. But it seems like a lot of you have been sharing the definitive songs of your childhood and youth as well. So let's get to some of those.
Yes. So we have Lily on WhatsApp saying that Bee Gees' Emotion has a lot of nostalgic impact for me, as it, you know, brings me down memory of the harder parts of my life. And every time I listen to this in the car, it feels like the song comforts me and assures me that things will be okay. And when I was severely depressed and the song came up in the car played by BFM some time ago, it really saved me, as it, you know, like it was telling me that it's okay to not be okay for a while.
Oh, that's a lovely story. Thank you for sharing, Lily.
Yes, and we also have a couple, we also have a few more comments on Twitter. We have Xiaoning, saying that it's Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. I was 9 at the time, but I can still remember the lyrics and the tune until today. And maybe it's because it was also one of the first music videos I'd ever seen, and it was just cool.
Who now has that song stuck in their head?
Me.
Audrey Raj is nodding at us from outside the studio.
We also have Helen Langhammer tweeting, saying that it's Make Me Smile, Come Up and See Me by Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel from 1975. I was 13 and I had a massive crush on Steve Harley. I was so excited when I got to see them play live a few years later.
Oh, that's lovely.
We have Juliana saying that it's November Rain by Guns N' Roses. We have Chris Olivia Tan saying that my dad likes to play songs from the 50s and 70s a lot, so I'm an oldies fan for sure. So no particular song, cheating a bit there.
Yeah. But that's actually an interesting point, because I also think that many of us would pick, because for me, one of the first songs, one of the songs that came to mind were, or rather a lot of the songs that came to mind were Beatles. And they're certainly not from my era, but I heard them because my parents and my uncles would listen to them.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily have to be songs from our youth era. It's just songs that we were somehow exposed to when we were a particular age.
Because we have to reach a certain age before we start exploring songs ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, before that, we are just in the car, whatever our parents pick, or older siblings or older cousins or whatever.
That's right. And I guess perhaps that's why the study also found that it's within the ranges of 10 to 30, right? Because that's when most people would generally start to venture out and look at their own music choices. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you were much younger, like you said, Sharmila, you know, I remember most of my childhood were actually songs that my parents listened to.
Yeah, or like me, when you're past 30 and you just give up and you're like, I'm not listening to anything new anymore.
We got a couple more responses, actually. Ikwan Hanif says that I like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game soundtrack, but my most memorable would probably be Superman by Goldfinger.
Nice.
Zakwan says it is Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis.
Oh, that's definitely one of my youth songs. I'm very excited to hear that
one. Yes, Sharmila, I remember, Sharmila, when we had this discussion, you had so much difficulty speaking this one song. I mean, we are cheating a bit since the Desert Islanders program lets you pick eight.
You were very strict with your guidelines, yes.
We also have Deep Kumar saying that it's In the End by Linkin Park.
Oh, I love that song.
We have Alan Wong saying it's We Close Our Eyes by Go West. We also have Audrey Raj saying that it's Mercy Mercy Me, The Ecology from Marvin Gaye, which has stuck with me because of the lyrics and how it made me think about taking better of our planet. And we have another one, Hussein Khalid saying it's Aqua, Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Hey, I agree.
I mean, like, I think we were all, you know, just fooling ourselves for that, because that is the definitive song from all of you.
Hey, I think we also have a really nice spectrum of music right there.
And we have one final one coming in from Raz saying that it's Hotel California, which is an epic.
Yeah. I think that defined many generations and many, you know, karaoke party nights. So that is all the time we have for today. But if you'd like to continue telling us the music or the songs that defined you growing up, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dashrin will be sticking around and speaking to Melinda and Charlene about the importance of women and young voices in politics. So that's it from us today. And as promised, we're going to close off the show with my defining song from my youth. And I was a little bit self-absorbed, but yes, you get to hear the whole song. This is Iris by Goo Goo Dolls on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.